Glory to God. Hallelujah. We've been teaching the love of God, and there's facets of it, as we've talked about a little bit, how we treat others, how we treat ourselves, how we receive of the love of God, and there's one more, how we love Him. And at some point in talking about the love of God as we have, we've seen from the scriptures that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And we've seen in the book of Galatians that faith works by love. Well, if we're not careful, we can approach that subject from a perspective of, I want to improve my faith effectiveness and receive of the things of God more proficiently. But at some point, doesn't it have to switch about, wait a minute, me receiving is not the most important thing. Isn't it about loving Him? Somebody said it this way, need to seek the face of God, not the hand of God. Or said another way, seek the face of God more than the hand of God. If you have His face, you have His hand, by the way. Hallelujah. Last couple of weeks or so, especially this past week, I have set my heart to really seek the face of God. I am pressed. We are pressed by need. And need will cause you to do various things, but the one thing you should do is go to God, go to God, go to God. And I've found, perhaps part of human nature is, as I grow more and more needy, even desperate, my fidelity to, my faithfulness to seeking God because He's God improves and gets better. In other words, you get more serious about it. Could you identify with that? Hallelujah. And after some time with this endeavor, I probably won't tell you all about it, but I had an experience here in this building this week where a move of God for me, help for me. I'll say this much. Angels came in the room where I was. They were sent to help me. But I had to not just work on my faith, or my faith confessions, or even, Lord, if I'm missing it somewhere, show me. All those are right, all those are good. It just got down to simply, I just want to be in Your presence, know Your ways. I know You'll help me when I'm there. Amen. Yesterday when I sit down to see if there was a message to write at all, this is what happened. Turn with me if you would. And again, you just follow your heart following the Spirit of God, whether that be seated or up here. Or I know we used to do a lot of what we called carpet time, laying on the floor with our face in the carpet just before God. Hallelujah. I love that line in that song. I can make it through the end if I can just see Your face. Amen. It boils down to finally, that's where you're at. Hallelujah. John chapter 6. How many know that the Bible describes that whom the Lord loves, He chastens, or that is, instructs? And it may be perhaps a little uncomfortable, but on the other hand, He's helping. If He brings a little bit of instruction or correction, He's helping. And we have to be ready for that and make adjustments. John chapter 6 and verse 26. This is the day after Jesus had fed the thousands with the loaves and fishes. And He stayed to pray and sent the disciples across the Sea of Galilee. And He walked across the water. So he was from where he was over then into Capernaum, and the people found him there and wanted to know, well, how'd you get here? So Jesus answers, not how he got there, but we'll pick it up at the 26th verse of John chapter 6. Jesus answers them and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Though God is our source to always fill us and bring us our needs, there's a point where every person needs to reflect upon, why am I pursuing and following God? When something happens, whether it be financially or perhaps our health in our bodies or something like that, you know, we tend to go, I need to seek God on this. Well, it kind of begs the question, how come I don't seek God all the time? And why am I seeking God? And when we have a need, we should seek God. But we got to ask ourselves, what about when everything's going along well and we don't seem to have an issue or a problem? Back quite a while ago, we had this little thing we call 9/11, and churches filled up for 2 or 3 weeks. And everybody figured out, oh, I guess it's not going to keep happening, so they went back to where they were and how they were. Maybe this is illustrative too. For me, this week, my experience was like when I was 2 months in Texas because I couldn't come home because Sandy was in the hospital there and she couldn't travel. Had to wait till she was stable enough to come by air ambulance. Well, it was a season of all about seeking the face of God, right? Being in that tender place. It's a good place to be, not a bad place to be. Among other things, I found it a little difficult to eat, and I got down to the weight I probably should be now, right? It's right to seek God in those desperate times. But we need to ask ourselves the question, do we only seek Him because our bellies were filled? Seek His face, not just His hand. In this same occasion, we won't look at the verses there at this present time. Jesus said some things about being the bread of life. In other words, they sought bread to be fed, but I'm the bread of life. And He talked about it, unless you eat my flesh, drink my blood, you don't have life in you. And many people became offended. Elsewhere, that's called hard sayings in the Scriptures. And at hard sayings, people leave. And I wonder if that's where the condition of the church is. But even things that are not hard sayings, people are calling hard sayings. Everybody's so sensitive, and you laws now about misgendering people. Always offended. It got to the point where Jesus had to ask His own disciples, you gonna leave too? John 6:66, please. John 6:66 says this, from that time, many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? Jesus should be our example, right? Jesus didn't chase down the offended people. In fact, even those close to Him, He offered them to stop the bus and let Him get off. Today, in our country at least, churches are working hard, pastors are working hard to not be offensive. God forbid they offer an off-ramp. I'll stop the bus and let you get off if you want. But that's what Jesus did. Now, I'm not saying you should be intentionally hard, difficult, offensive, always speaking in love. That's what a pastor should do. Verse 68, Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Would that be your answer? Would that be your response today? Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I ask you, where else will you go? Where will you find the words of life? And are those more important than other things? Where we choose to go to church, or if we go to church, is so important in our lives, because there needs to be words of life there, or what have we got? The number one factor that drives where people attend church, as determined by survey, is it's where my friends go. Well, that's fine. Maybe people need some new friends. I'm going to sound like my mother for a moment here. If all your friends are going to hell, you going too?
That's right.
Where are the words of life? I want to be where the words of life are. And if I don't seek the face of God as a preacher and a pastor, when I come Sunday, I won't have the words of life. I'm here to have the words of life. I'm here to seek the face of God. Where will I go? You have the words of life. And where we give our time and attention and Bible teachers we listen to and so on, are there words of life there? I will always travel any distance for words of life. I will spend any amount of money for words of life. I'm not chasing a job, I'm chasing the Lord. I'm not chasing comfortable surroundings, I'm chasing the Lord. Me personally, I want to live in the Rocky Mountains. So I've just simply told the Lord, if you're building me a mansion in heaven, it better be in the Rocky Mountains. Because I may not get to live there because of His calling in this life. Amen. I'm going to have my own personal mountain stream with dancing waters coming down the rocks. I don't know about you, but my highest priority in this life is to know God, to follow Him, to have the words of life. When I have them, there's something in me that I just can't help but share them with other people. Some will listen, some will value those words, and some don't. Where are those persons who, above all else, treasure the words of life? All of us know individuals that were, what do you want to say, hot for God at a point in their life, and now, just not. God hasn't changed. Matthew 24, 12, please. At some point, in seeking the blessing of God and our faith being effective, we've got to realize you can miss it that way, and at some point, it better become about Him. Now, the Bible does declare it is the Lord that gives us power, that is authority, to get wealth. But if the wealth becomes the priority, you'll see God not participating in it, and then people just have to work for their supply. Matthew 24, 12. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. I don't know about you, but to me it seems like, yep, that's what's happening. That's exactly what's happening. And I suppose it would be understandable if we watched the world get more and more and more lawless. And we have watched in recent years our nation, our culture, our society get more and more and more lawless. And we have whole government agencies ignoring the law, doing their own thing. Do you see what that causes? It causes the love of many to grow cold. And again, it'd be understandable if it was in the world, but it's in the church. It's in God's people as well. People are doing things they wouldn't used to do. Jesus spends some time in the closing of the book of Matthew talking about end times. Revelation talks about end times. Daniel talks about end times and so on. And I think we could safely say this, what you see now is going to get worse. I haven't heard much of it, but I understand there's a teaching going around many churches. I think some call it kingdom now or something like that, that the kingdom of God will be ushered in by God's people and it'll come to dominate government and society and all of that, and we'll turn this world around. I think the only thing going to turn around this world around is the return of Jesus. Exactly. Yeah, my friend Dr. Jack Myers says that nationally, 50% before COVID, after COVID, church attendance is down 50% nationally. And he says, I think it's the beginning of the great falling away predicted by the Scriptures. I don't know if it is or isn't. I'm just going to make sure it's not me. And I, as a pastor, going to try to stand in the roadway and say, whoa, 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 whoa. The love of many will grow cold, and it's going to get worse and worse. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. See, not we're ushering in the kingdom and we're going to make the world great. No, perilous times are coming. Verse 2, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Oh, we need the power of God in manifestation. This just comes up in my spirit right now. To have the power of God in manifestation, it is, what Lord? What word, Lord? Catalyst. Triggered. Brought about. The power of God is brought about by intense love for God. By increasing love for God. You see, when they love pleasure rather than love God, they still call themselves, oh, I love God. Oh, I'm following God. But they're denying the power. Stopping the power. I don't want to stop the power. I came down from our bedroom this morning at 6:21. Pastor Sandy was awake and she was singing a worship song. I told her we're going to church today. And she sometimes remembers lots, sometimes little, but she said, we have a church? Yeah. What's its name? Renew Church. Cool. Do we get people saved? I said, yes. Do we get people filled with the Holy Ghost? I said, yes. Do we get them speaking in other tongues? I said, yes. Do we get people healed? I said, yes. And she says, that's cool. That's, in her heart of hearts, that's what's there. It takes the power of God to save. It takes the power of God to fill with the Holy Ghost. It's the power of God in manifestation when one speaks in other tongues. It's the power of God in manifestation to see people healed in their bodies, healed in their minds and their emotions, set free and delivered. I don't want to deny the power of God. I cannot let my love grow cold. And as I've mentioned, particularly this week, I've set aside pretty much everything else. I came to work here. I did some work every day, working in these two rooms over here. Did some rewiring and rerouting of wire on the fire alarm. But my hands can do the work while my heart is somewhere else. Do you understand that? You can work, your mind can be in your work, you can be productive in your work, and your heart, maybe I'll say it this way, your ear is always upward. I just, especially recently, and this week especially, I turned my ear upward. And as I mentioned, that song came up in my spirit as I did. And then I found the presence of God, and I found His face in that, and I have played it over and over and over and over. And you're going to hear it again today, I'm sure. Go to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4. Jesus was speaking to the seven churches of Asia Minor in the revelation of Jesus as written down by the Apostle John. And He had words and instructions for each of the churches. This particular verse was to the church at Ephesus. Ephesus was the largest of the churches. The population in the world was far less than it is today, but I've read of estimates of 30,000 believers in the church at Ephesus. Timothy became the pastor at the church at Ephesus. And this is why Paul wrote two letters to Timothy instructing him as a pastor. Things like, let no one despise your youth. Speak the word boldly. Things like that. So this is at the largest church. Jesus says this, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. The most notable thing about some of the largest churches is that they are the largest churches. You understand what I mean by that? But it can be that the largest churches became the largest churches through leaving their first love. To make the core center. Now, there's nothing wrong with large churches. Nothing wrong with that at all. But there cannot be compromises in certain things. And if those things are compromised for being large, that's a problem. We must not leave our first love. Exodus 33:13. To this day, to the Jewish folks, Moses is the greatest of all. Of course, Jesus said, there's no greater prophet than John the Baptist. There may be some reasons for that. Among them, he was transitional, bringing in, introducing the Christ, introducing Jesus, and so on. But as great as Moses was, is, Moses found the key and the secret. Moses, for all of his responsibility and greatness in leading the people and so on, the Bible calls him the meekest among men. He walked in a great humility. To walk in a great humility, you have to know what the score really is. And let me show you the heart of Moses here. Verse 13 of Exodus 33, Moses speaking, he says, "Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people." He didn't say my people. This is your people. And he said, this is the Lord responding, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." 15. Then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here." Maybe that's what I'm getting at here, perhaps as a pastor. If I don't have the heart of God, the Spirit of God, the presence of God, if it isn't about Him first, I don't even want to go forward. Then this church or any church is not important anymore. We have needs in our church. We desire what you might call progress, success, and we've enjoyed things that could be called success, progress. We've enjoyed abundance financially in our church. And some would have those be the measurements. And they can be measurements along the way, but the measurement is the presence. The presence. The presence. And I don't want to point at past successes or numbers of people or what's been accomplished. In our case, let's say perhaps the building and things like that. I don't want to point at them and have them be the thing. I want to introduce people to Jesus. I want to introduce people to the work of the Holy Spirit. I want to introduce people into the life in the presence. And let that be the thing. Amen. 16, "For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth." So the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." Does God know you by name? Now you might say, well, he can't forget my name. Of course he knows me by name. But if you appeared up in his presence, would he say, "Oh, good to see you. Haven't seen you around here for a while"? Then verse 18, and boy, this is one that's affected me for many, many, many years. And he said, "Please, show me your glory." Moses wanted to see a fuller manifestation. Moses wanted to see more of God. He wanted to see the glory of God. 19, then he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you." If you're going to see a greater revelation of God, you're going to see goodness. Here's a clue. You want the goodness of God operating in your life? Seek Him. Don't stop short by just seeking the goodness. Just seek Him. And when He shows up, His goodness comes with Him. Yeah. "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." Now, don't think He chooses some people to put down. He responds to all who seek Him. But when He says, "I'll choose where I'm going to have compassion," He's talking about extraordinary compassion beyond. or an extraordinary grace. Like the Apostle Paul, he realized, I am chief among sinners. And the Lord saved him while he was persecuting the church. There's a good example of I will have compassion on who I will have compassion. Truth is, none of us deserve it. But we seek him and we get his graciousness. Verse 20, but he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. Our physical bodies cannot sustain life in the full manifestation of God. The physical body can't do it. Now here, we're going to see in a moment that he covers Moses, so Moses can't see the full manifestation. God to this day will not show his full manifestation, even we New Covenant believers. And when he partially reveals more of his presence, the body often falls to the floor. Can't stand in his presence. But I promise you, that is not the full manifestation of his presence. Would to God that even today we have such a manifestation of his presence that we can't stand but fall to the floor. Well, I won't do any of that fallen stuff. Okay. Then he can't show you more of himself. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Why we're here is because we are looking at Moses had such a heart to see God. To find the face of God, to see his glory. God says it's not safe, but I'll show you as much as you can bear. I pray every one of us here, everyone that might be listening today, watching, or in coming days, oh, that you would desire so to see the glory and the manifestation of God. Now we know, Colossians 3:3, in the New Covenant, we are in Christ. We could not, in our physical bodies, bear the full manifestation of the glory of God. Jesus can and does. And in Colossians 3:3, it says, for you died, and your life is hidden in Christ. Well, hidden in Christ, we can survive greater manifestations of the glory of God in this life, in this time, while in the body. You know that Paul wrote that he was caught up into the third heaven, and whether in the body or out of the body, he could not tell. Greater glory and manifestations, we might experience things that we are what you would call in the spirit, and it may not be sure exactly what our status is, in the body, out of the body. I think a good measure of this, probably a great measure of this, happened with Pastor Sandy. In the body, out of the body. She's told me again several times. She met Jesus. She talked with Jesus. And I want to know more about that, you know. And she can only say a few things, and then it's like, she says, I don't remember really. And that may be the hand of God restraining her memory on that. She was 7 weeks comatose. And more than one person said, medical, and even one that I really respect, minister, said, she's not in her body. You know, we think you're alive, you're dead. You're in your body, you're not in your body. Oh no, there's more than that. There's much more than that. And we can have occasions in the presence. Closest I came to that was about day 3 or 4 after she was injured, sleeping, and I was suddenly awakened, knowing something's up, and sat up in the bed in the dark. I never lost awareness of my physical surroundings or my body, but I could see a courtroom in heaven. And we conducted a trial in the courtroom of heaven. And I had to testify and enter my plea. Quite an experience, the presence of God. It's something that you don't forget, stays with you. Well, we're hidden in Christ, and we can experience things in Christ that otherwise the body couldn't take. Is it okay to desire these things? Yes, but it's not okay to entertain the counterfeit and the false spiritual manifestations. You seek the supernatural too much, you will be accommodated by the enemy. Don't desire an experience so much that you're willing to accept the counterfeit. Be very careful about that. Be very careful about angels. Because the Bible tells us that Satan himself can transform himself to appear as an angel of light. Yet we can experience the presence of angels. Truth of the matter is this room is filled with angels right now. How aware are we of that? How much we interact? I would say only interact with angels as God gives permission or occasion. But in Christ, my point is this, in Christ, hidden in the rock, our cry also, like Moses should be, show me your face. Show me your glory. And we know this, that when Moses came down from that mountain, having seen the backside of God and the goodness passing by, his face glowed. And the people who weren't at the same place and desire and so on as he was, said, please put something on your face. We can't take it. Would to God that we have that effect on the world. Something about you, and it's either going to drive them to God or drive them away, and we might as well have it. If the presence of God all over you and me drives someone away, okay. I'm not saying be it obnoxious or chasing people down. You're going to get saved. No, that's wrong. But Jeremiah 29:11. I hope that I have kind of a somber, if you will, tone of voice today as I'm teaching. I hope it's understood as respectful of the gravity and importance of these things. I hope you understand why I'm speaking as I am. I feel it deeply. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. 12. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. 13. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I did my work this week that I was responsible for. I took care of the people around me. All of that. But the whole time, I was seeking God. What do you mean? I mean, my ear was always tuned upward. Paul wrote, pray without ceasing. Well, does that mean for hours I'm on my knees? No, it means whatever I'm doing, I'm communing, I'm fellowshipping, I'm saying things just here and there. I'm hearing things from Him just here and there as I'm going about doing the things I need to do. I have an ear somewhere else. And I suppose those who were around me this week didn't even know it. And that's okay. You know, Jesus said, when you fast, anoint your head with oil, you know, and basically it's when you're seeking God intensely, don't make everybody, you know, expect they're going to respect you because I'm fasting. Don't announce it. Don't tell everybody. Don't make a big deal about it. Look normal. Go about your business, but you have an ear tuned upward. Always. Always. We will find Him when we seek Him with all our heart. Amen. I can't seek God for you. I can only seek God for me. I'm done. Now it's up to you. I invite you right now, if not for the next week, at least for the next few moments, to seek God with all your heart. Usually communion is ministered to you. You don't have to expend any effort whatsoever. You sit in your chair and the plate comes by. You're served, and there's nothing wrong with that. But seeking God is a personal effort. You have to invest something in it. And even communion this morning, I want you, if you desire, to put forth some effort yourself. What do I need to do? Well, you're going to have to get up from your chair and walk and do it intentionally. If there's someone that can't walk, well, that's a different story. And we're going to play this song once, maybe twice, and I'm going to ask you to pour out your heart toward God or open your heart or just begin or just let the ice start melting out. Something. I talk about a move of God is coming. What's it take to have a move of God? We wait around till God moves, or God's people seek and usher it in or bring it about, or both? Probably both. We know from the last scripture in Jeremiah that we read, you'll find Him when you seek Him with all your heart. And I can say this, but when we say, let's get it over with, we are not seeking God with all our heart. Time doesn't equal seeking God, but seeking God may spend some time. Let's not be in a hurry. Let's just make sure we actually take the dial on our hearts and turn it up. Or maybe I'll rephrase it. I'll invite you to do that. Can't make anybody do that. And if somebody in the house says, well, this is all silly and ridiculous and wants to stay put in their seat, or I don't even know what to say about those watching, I suppose those watching, you make some sort of a move. Or go find a piece of bread, cracker, juice. Maybe don't have grape juice in the house. Take water. If you have to, let Jesus turn the water into wine. But at some point in time, church is not to be the performer stands up and then does his performance and we get our scorecards and hold them up, you know. It comes down to what will God say about us this morning, all of us. Amen. But I want to be serious about seeking Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't just rush up here, get it over with. Let's play this song, Show Me Your Face. I invite you to make that your heart's cry. Then come, take communion, receive communion yourself. Hallelujah. So just for the next whatever length of time, let's just be responsive to God. Amen. Receive communion. Maybe you return to your seat. Maybe you stand to the side. Maybe we even lie before Him in His presence. I don't know. I don't want to make anything happen. Just give the invitation for everything. Amen. If you need to repent, search your heart. Get things right. If you need healing in your body, seek the healer. If you need finance, seek the supplier. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I won't say you're going to see angels or anything like that. By the way, I knew of the presence of angels this week. I didn't see them. But you can know. Ever had a time where all of a sudden you're like, I'm not alone. There's someone in the room with me. Amen. And that can be a wicked spirit. That can be an angelic spirit. Can be an angel as well. And when you know that, you know it's an angel, they don't come for no reason. There's a reason. Ask what's the reason. And you know the scriptures declare that they are ministering spirits sent to minister for those who inherit salvation. They need us to instruct them to go. If angels come to you, they are sent by God to perform a task for you. But they're waiting on you to send them. Amen. And that shouldn't be all that unusual in our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. You ready? Just follow your spirit and your heart.
Put your hand over His face. So in your presence, you wouldn't die.
Lord Jesus, this is your body, which is broken for us. We receive your body now. You took punishment and stripes in our place. And now our bodies are restored and healed. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Seek your faith. Show me your face, Lord. Show me your face.
You need to help her.
She's squeezing him. You gotta be gentle.
Then gird up my legs. I might end.
And Lord, hear your blood. We have forgiveness of sins. We have new life. We have the presence of your spirits on the inside. Right now, we receive of your work, Jesus. And we're here to do according to your will, as you desire. And we do indeed seek your face.
I can make through the end. If I could just see your face. David knew there was something more than the ark of your presence. And in a manger a baby was born.
Hi, Lori.
Among kings and cousins. All of Israel saw the glory, and it shines down through the age. Now you call me
Hold her up.
Seek your face. Show me your face, Lord. Show me your face. Show me your face, Lord. Your power and grace.
Can you put your arms around me?
Then gird my legs, that I might stand in this holy place.
She wanted to stand up.
Can we pray for you?
Sure.
Show me your
she said again.
If you want to be dismissed from this service, you can be. We'll call it officially done. But I'm hanging out a little while. And if you'd like to, you may as well. The brothers just prayed for me. Pray for one another. Minister to one another. Oh, offering. Yeah. Yeah, just bring a bucket up. She's so very happy right now. Hallelujah. Raise your hand. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You gonna walk again? Yeah? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Oh, don't eat it. Go ahead and sing.
Hey, your power and grace. Your power and grace.
Let's play that one more time. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let this day be a new beginning for you.
Put your hand over his face. So in your presence, he will be all of Israel saw the glory, and it shines down through the
age. We can consider ourselves dismissed. Play it one more time as we go. Nobody's telling you to leave. In fact, lay hands on one another, pray for one another. That'd be a good and fitting thing to do.